We have a great lineup for you tonight. And of course, we're going to start with Rohan Preston, the lead theater critic at the Star Tribune. And if we're going to talk about Center Stage, we got to talk to Rohan. How you doing, sir?
I'm well, thank you. Welcome, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. Here's the thing I want to talk to you about. I know that there are a lot of unique shows that are happening, and some of the theaters are really rethinking what do we need to talk about through the words and the scenes and the show itself on some of the stages around this state. And I'm blown away by it. I started thinking about the insurrection January 6th over a year ago. What has it been now? 2 years? And it's really frustrating for me, but I keep wondering what starts a new storyline when it comes to writing a play. Like, you know, January 6th insurrection, many people have been writing about it in different ways, but are we going to see something on Broadway about it? Whether it's that, or maybe it's how some of our leaders, political leaders, are now being threatened, like what happened to Nancy Pelosi's husband, Sam Pelosi. You know, it's crazy. So I wonder, are those the things that are happening today, that we are living this life and it needs to be put on stage?
And it will be. I mean, if you think about the big events of history, you think about like the civil rights movement, you think about, you know, Roe, you think mm-hmm. about World War II, World War I, the Depression, all of those things. And you're right. I mean, the insurrection, January 6th was amazing. And I think there'll be a lot of shows and a lot of stories set in that backdrop, with that backdrop. You know, they're coming. I have to say, though, you know, it does take a longer time for a theater to develop. Just the process is much longer. The writing and then the conception, the writing, and then the workshopping, because it's such a collaborative process and it requires so many people. I have no doubt that there are playwrights who have already written things. It's a matter of getting those things on their feet, you know?
Has the pandemic kind of quenched the taste for the artists that have been writing, the playwriters who have been bringing it forward? But has it changed how they are even working? Are they working faster? You know, I've always thought of them as fast and furious writers, right? Because they have so much to say and they got to get it out of their head and heart. However, with the pandemic, things have kind of slowed down. And I'm just wondering if you're hearing more about the playwrights writing more than ever.
Well, I think they are. I mean, and I think the pandemic is a really good example because people learned and created new tools, new avenues. I know of playwriting groups that move online, for example, where they have like a weekly or a monthly reading online, which is quite remarkable. I think all of those things are afoot, and you know, it's a matter. Since we're in the moment, we don't really know how the moment is going to shake out. Sometimes, you know, people like to wait a second as well, just to see, like, you know, what was that, and you know, how are we living? I mean, for example, you mentioned January 6th, but It's for some people it's in the rearview mirror, but for others, it's, you know, it's still happening, you know, or so that's the thing. And you know, where does a writer, an artist, where does a songwriter, you know, where do you situate yourself in that situation, and how do you use it? And you don't necessarily have to comment on it directly. You could just set it in the background. And you know, the way like Les Mis, which is going to be coming up soon at the Orpheum, is set against the backdrop of the French Revolution. But it's, you know, and that's sort of the culminating event, but it's a story of justice and a story of individuals trying to do right and seeking redemption.
Yeah, and we may be looking at that piece from a totally different perspective because we are hearing the rallying cry from another side that says we are going to start a civil war, you know. So these are the times that you know, it's perfect timing for that to come forward, because those of us who may be concerned about it or maybe even worried about it, losing sleep about it, you know, you realize that what we are seeing a culmination of could be things that we never, ever thought could take place again. But my mother used to tell me all the time, Geraldine, don't ever say it'll never happen again. If we let it happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we are at in a crucible or a critical time, and I read a lot, and sometimes I read a lot of what social media is saying and what other sources are saying, and I think there's an alarm just at the level of the rhetoric and the vitriol. And then, as you see, so recently, people acting on that as well, you know?
Yeah. I just don't know if we're really serious about it, if we really understand how close we are to doomsday, you know? And I'm not talking about biblical doomsday, but in the sense of this country, you know, the United States. If we get people that don't believe in democracy anymore, don't believe that it's worth fighting for, we are up a creek. That's kind of how I look about it. So let me stop talking about doomsday, but I also want to talk to you. Seriously. I know
I think you're absolutely right, you know, and it's interesting. I argue what I do in terms of, and what the artists do in terms of theater, is pretty critical, because it's really about building citizenship, right?
Right.
And so, you know, and building understanding with each other, of each other, and having shared experiences. You know, when people declared war in Ukraine, it was a culture that they resorted to as a unifying thing. And it's a culture that they're fighting for. They're fighting to preserve their culture. Well, that's what the artists are doing. It's the work that the artists are doing. And, you know, of course, you mentioned playwrights, but it's also dancers. And it's also, you know, ballerinas, and it's composers, and it's painters, and it's all of them. And that's what they're doing, creating for us a sense of who we are, giving us voice, giving us beauty, giving us aspiration, giving us all kinds of things that is worth all the effort of our society. And you know, obviously, you know, we're one of the greatest nations in history, but we're also very vulnerable as a nation. So that's the thing. And I like to think of it this way. We are at a crucible or a crucial moment where we have all kinds of changes happening. We have huge technological changes that, you know, some people feel alienated from. We have huge demographic changes that, you know, some people are afraid of. We have other types of changes afoot. So even the way we think, you know, it's like, it used to be that we wrote and thought by hand and longhand, and now we write and think by our thumbs on the keyboard of our phones, and the bent over figure looking over the phone is recognizable anywhere, because that's what everyone is doing. And so fundamentally, consciousness itself is changing. And so when you at a moment like this, we're very vulnerable, because there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear, and all of that could be exploited. And so you're right. We have to think of ourselves in terms of a community and what binds us together instead of what divides us.
And where are we going? I'm always devastated when I read about Ukraine. I have a hard time going back or keep accepting those articles, because it breaks my heart, right? And I remember when they first were being attacked, and they would go to the theaters and find refuge, and they would talk about the plays and create more plays. And I'm just wondering, in our time today, you know, are we also seeing more and more coming out of the souls of those who really care and want to put it on the stage? And should we put it on the stage? Who would come? Who wouldn't come? There used to be a time that we could really rely on those who present. Because when they present, we come to make sure we take it in. And now I'm not sure that we're going to continue that. That it worries me, I have to tell you, that in some of the United States, we may see the loss of so much when it comes to music and art and books and so much more. I was at Costco the other day, and I cannot tell you how many books they have now, right? They have a ton of books on sale. And I keep looking, I walk down that long table and I go, my goodness, it's getting bigger and bigger, higher and higher. Now, it looks like that's great, or does it mean that we're not reading as much as we used to? Like, we don't even want to relive it. We don't want to rehear any of all the things that are happening right now in our country that are really awful.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably both, right? I mean, I think there's a huge appetite, and what you've hit on is something that's really key. And you mentioned the South and other areas that may not have the same language. But well, the things that give us the same language and give us the same experiences is the arts, right? You know that. It's like we have common experience. If we watch the Grammys or if we watch the Oscars, and every day, all of us are talking about the snap, you know, it's a bad thing, right? But we're at least having the same conversation. We have a common point of reference, and so I think some of what you have alluded to is the fracturing that's happened and how we're not all on the same page.
Not even close.
yeah. But I do believe, I mean, I think it's a process. And, you know, I'm an optimist and sometimes a little naive about this stuff, but I do believe in sort of the redemptive power of the arts and the power to bring us all together. And yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, if 60,000 people see Les Mis or 100,000 people see Hamilton, it's not enough. It would be great if more people, but we are still building something and building on that. And I'm optimistic for those people, and I want more. You know, I want more to be able to experience the work and have that conversation, see great work, have great conversation about it, and build our citizenry, a common wheel among the citizenship. That's hard to say that because, you know, artists, they just want to do their work, and they, you know, it's speaking of a larger, I wouldn't say failure. It's more a larger challenge that we don't have the same media, for example, that everyone can look to. And so there are some people in one information bubble who have a reference to other things that other people in another information bubble don't have. And it's really quite remarkable. And you know, it's like separate worlds. And I get that, you know, I speak to, you know, and it's always existed in the sense that young people and old people have different ways of interacting and with media and culture and all of that. But this is different in that the fracturing now is so extreme. So I hope that theater can bridge that, you know, help bridge that. So
I have one final question for you, and I know we are very close to having to take a break.
By the way, this is very thoughtful, and it's very much about like you know, sort of the resilience that we build through the arts, right? The resilience that we build through culture, and how citizenship is built through common understanding, common language, shared experiences. I mean, it's really wonderful. I mean, I know I'm speaking almost like it's almost like a kind of a civic sermon, but it's really, really good, and it's really, really important, you know?
It is important. My challenge is that many people don't believe in it anymore. And that's that last question I want to talk to you about, because inflation, which, you know, oh my goodness, I've been talking to everybody about this so-called inflation. But it blows my mind. What we need right now is, you know, a lot of joy in our lives, a lot of peace in our lives, settle ourselves, right? Yet this inflation thing is making everyone antsy and angry, and they don't know what to do with this. And then all of a sudden they say, well, I'm going to take my children to go see some really great Christmas shows this year. I know I said that about my grandchildren. I'm going to take them. Then you start looking around and you find out some tickets are $100 per child, per individual. Yeah. And I'm blown away by that. You would think if we're going through a very difficult time as a country, that they would at least stop and say, hey, we got to pull back, you guys, so that more people can come and see this show that aren't usually able to see the show at this cost. Because it just breaks my heart. It would cost that much money. And so many children especially won't be able to see it. How do you feel about that?
I agree. I mean, I have talked to some of the theater fiscal managers, if you will, and they are on the receiving end of all of it the same way everyone else is in terms of supply chain issues, this, that, the other, and all their costs have gone up. It's an insane time. And I don't know what to say. I mean, I wish all of our stuff has gone up. You know, you buy a small bag of groceries and
one plastic bag is $65.
How much is that? And,
seriously. Know? Seriously. But I have to blame myself. I got to blame myself. I'm not going to the grocery stores. I should be going to, because, you know, they are the ones that are really trying to save money for families. No, where do I go? Lunds and Byerly's is closer. And I finally said to myself, wait, I'm paying what for eggs? Wait a minute. Wait, Geraldine, just wait. I'm working hard at it. I know we got to take a break, and I'm so happy that you were able to join me this long tonight. I'm just thrilled when you're on. Just thrilled. So good to hear from you, Rohan. I wanted to talk to you about sticks, but we'll save that for another time. And just know that I'm grateful that you are a part of all that we do in this country, in this state, when it comes to the arts. So thank you.
I am honored, and I thank you too. And I throw it back at you. You know, you are an enthusiastic supporter of this work, and both as a sort of exponent, but also as an artist yourself. So I love that, and I thank you as well for all the great work that you're doing.
By the way, I'm doing a Thanksgiving show at the Dakota, so if you are available with the family, come on down.
Is it on Thanksgiving night?
On Thanksgiving night, 7 p.m.
Wonderful. I think someone's going to roll me out in a wheelbarrow because I'm going to be full.
I know. Me and you both, darling. Me and you both. Take care of yourself, Rohan. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.